So we introduced autonomous systems. So we're going to explain a little bit more about an autonomous system and see how the internet is structured. And I think that topic will finish us for today. So we had a picture where, imagine an internet service provider, a company that is in the business of creating a network across a city or across a country and selling access to that network. They provide other people access to the internet. Their network is normally an IP network made up of routers, and there are many internet service providers. Usually a local internet service provider does not provide you access or connections to everyone in the world. Your ISP just covers Bangkok. Someone else's ISP may cover their city. Those ISPs need to be connected somehow. And in effect, they are connected via other internet service providers. So an internet service provider may not just sell access to individuals like you and me, they may also sell access to other ISPs. So an entire internet service provider may buy access from another ISP. And so we treat those individual ISP networks as autonomous systems, where within that autonomous system, the organization has their own control over what they do for routing, of the protocols they use. So it's up to the organization to manage their own internal network. But between autonomous systems, they must use something that's common, especially in terms of exchanging routing information. And so it's often referred as internal to the autonomous system is interior, and you would use an interior routing protocol, and between autonomous systems is exterior, and you use an exterior routing protocol. Each autonomous system has a unique autonomous system number, AS number or ASN. I'll show you some examples. These are unique across the world. The examples I'll show are from, they're just screenshots here, I'll show you the details in a moment, but many different ISPs will have an AS number. I can't remember the exact length, but you see here, here's a five-digit ASN. I'll show you more when we look at the Thai internet map. So that this information on this slide is available publicly from the Thai internet map website, which we'll go to now. And you've probably seen this before. Actually, first, the website. If you search for NECTEC or Thai internet map, you'll find the website. NECTEC maintain this website, which contains statistics about the internet within Thailand, especially the connectivity between ISPs, internet service providers, in Thailand, and their connectivity outside of Thailand. And statistics like the number of autonomous systems within the country. So you see a summary here, allocated AS numbers 3,768. As we also know that an IP network or a subnet has a network address, an IP network address. So if this is a particular IP address, if to simplify the things, we treat this as a class full address, then, or slash 24, then the network address the network address for the IP network that this host is attached to, if my computer has this IP address, then the network address, the address which represents that IP subnet, is this. Because the slash 24 says the first 24 bits identify the network, the last 8 bits identify the host inside that network. This is an address of a particular IP subnet inside the internet. So different organizations may have multiple IP subnets. Within one autonomous system, there are multiple IP subnets. So this may be inside one autonomous system, and there may be others as well. Two different IP subnets, or two different IP networks, may be within one autonomous system. So this number here is indicating the number of IP networks that have been allocated, 17,000. IPv6 is the next version of the protocol. So this website keeps track of some of those statistics. In particular, it has some other statistics like the amount of bandwidth coming into Thailand, international internet gateway that is connecting from Thailand to the outside, international, over time, how it's grown to about 140 gigabits per second, and national, that is the connections between ISPs within the country, and you see that's grown up to 700 gigabits per second, as well as things like the number of domain names that have been registered inside the country. So there are many statistics there. The one things we're interested in at the moment is the maps of the internet. It's available here, but I have it as an image as well. And there are two maps, a domestic and international. Just zoom in. So this is the domestic map. The large blue ones represent national internet exchanges, IX and Internet Exchange, that is owned by particular organizations, CAT, TOT, True, Internet Gateway. So, and the ones around the edges, we can see a few, are local internet service providers, normally that we as end consumers would pay access via. And the lines indicate the links and the speeds of those links between an autonomous system of a single ISP and links to other autonomous systems. So the national internet exchanges are autonomous systems. So it's not a single device, it may be a network or even a set of IP networks. It may be multiple IP subnets in here. And similar inside here, an autonomous system, there may be multiple IP subnets, many routers, many customers connected to there. And it's given one unique AS number, AS3836. And, of course, we have the connections. So imagine inside each of these are multiple routers where the routing internal to here is maintained and managed by TOT, the organization. Similar, the routing internal to this autonomous system is maintained by that ISP. But if someone down here, we cannot see them, wants to send to a customer on this ISP, it goes to the international exchange, one of them that it's connected to. We need to know how to get it from the source autonomous system to the destination autonomous system. Once we can get the IP data to the destination autonomous system, then internal routing will get it to the destination host. But somehow we need to know which set of autonomous systems to send this data from to get it from the source to the destination. And that's where we use external routing protocols. In particular, only one external routing protocol is used, and it's BGP. The Border Gateway Protocol. It allows the autonomous systems to exchange information about who is reachable via them. By reachable, we mean that, for example, all of the ISPs or autonomous systems with links into here are reachable via this internet exchange. So this internet exchange would use BGP to tell other ISPs, which it's connected to, about all of the ISPs which are directly linked into it, because they are reachable via this internet exchange. So it's some form of routing, discovering who else is out there and finding about information of how to reach those autonomous systems. And the protocol used for that is BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol. We may return to that in a moment. Let's go back to our slides. So, let's summarize a little bit. Within an autonomous system, we use an interior routing protocol inside. Except when we talk about routing, another word which means the same thing is a gateway. For simplicity, we treat the words the same. A router is a gateway. This is the older terminology, older 20 or 30 years old. This is perhaps the more common terminology now. But some systems still refer to a gateway. So in fact, I said an interior routing protocol. Technically, it's an interior gateway protocol, IGP. But the routing performed inside the autonomous system, there are many different interior gateway protocols. Some of them RIP, OSPF, and there are others. So your ISP can choose whichever one they like, whichever best suits their needs. But between autonomous systems, to know which autonomous system is reachable from the other autonomous systems, we use an exterior gateway protocol, and there's only one in use in the internet today. It's called BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol. An autonomous system exchanges information at the border of its network with other autonomous systems. The idea is that the neighbor ASs, the ones which have connections with each other, use BGP to advertise which networks are reachable via each other. Let's see if we can illustrate that. What we have here is two autonomous systems, the larger clouds, and I've tried to illustrate inside them multiple IP subnets. Here we have 1, 2, 3, 4 IP subnets and connected together via some routers. And similar here we have 3 IP subnets. Let's just give them a name. Normally we'd use an IP address to identify these. This may be 131.13.6.0. This would be another IP network address. But for simplicity, let's just give them a letter. And the IP subnets, their identifiers, should be unique across the internet. So, internal here, we use an interior gateway protocol, whatever routing we choose, and a separate one may be used here. BGP is used here. this autonomous system exchanges information with this one, and the simplest way we can think is that AS1 would tell AS2 the networks that you can reach via me are A, B, C, and D. And the other way, AS2 would tell AS1 the networks that you can reach via me are E, F, and G. That's the idea with the Border Gateway Protocol. Tell your neighbours which IP subnets are reachable via you. So, if this is another router with a connection to another autonomous system, which I won't draw, but if we eventually receive an IP packet, the destination is on network B based on the IP address, then this autonomous system should know that, okay, to reach the host on network B, I need to send to autonomous system 1. And it would have a way to route through its internal network and reach the router which is connected to AS1. It knows that network B is on AS1 because previously AS1 told AS2 about network B using the Border Gateway Protocol. The packet will be routed internally using whatever routing protocol is chosen, sent across this link, and then routed internally to the destination here on network B. So that's the role of autonomous systems by separating the internal routing from the external routing between autonomous systems. It makes the management of the entire internet much easier. Individual organizations can choose their own routing protocol, whichever's best for them. But between them, they must all use BGP. Any questions so far on autonomous systems, BGP? Are you ready for your quiz? There'll be a quiz at the end of the lecture. It won't be hard, it'll be true or false. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay. This illustrates similar to what we've drawn already. This is the in-depth view, the detailed view of this autonomous system. So if we zoom in on this, similar to what I've drawn, we have some border routers. These are the special routers that connect to other autonomous systems, these two. And internally, we have some different networks, IP subnets, all connected together by internal routers. So this is similar to what I've drawn here. So we can hide this detail, and it looks something like this. Autonomous systems are connected together via border routers. Border routers or autonomous systems exchange information about who is reachable using the Border Gateway Protocol, BGP. How do we connect between two autonomous systems now? There's one internet service provider and another company that has their own network. Like we saw in the map of the Thai domestic internet, there were multiple ISPs and they had links with each other. They are physical links. There are two types of connections in general. There's private peering and public peering. So peering is the concept of connecting between two peers. One autonomous system connects directly to another autonomous system. They are considered peers with each other. So, quite simply, we have a cable that connects their two routers. Here, this is an example of private peering. One company, another company, they decide, let's peer with each other, and they pay for a cable that connects this organization's router to this one. This is an example of private peering. They would have some commercial contract that makes some agreement about, okay, we're going to exchange each other's data. And we'll see some more information about that shortly. So this is just some physical connection, like a high-speed optical link, technologies such as SDH, or even the two routers could be in the same room, and they could be connected together via a high-speed gigabit Ethernet link. The alternative is public peering, where there's some third-party organization that provide some service of connecting many ISPs together. And that's what we see in the internet, the Thai internet map. Let's say we have different autonomous systems. And there's some company, usually, or some organization that provides a service where they have connections. Each autonomous system has connections into this public peering office or internet exchange point. And essentially, we have a switch in here that connects them together, some high-speed switch, such that if AS1 needs to exchange information with AS2, it simply goes via this link. This, again, maybe a high-speed optical link into some company's office or company's data center, and then is sent out on this link to AS2. So they'd exchange information about which internal networks are reachable from within them. So multiple peers, in this case, connect via some shared network, say an Ethernet switch. And it may be more than four, it may be hundreds of ISPs. So the examples of the national internet exchanges are an example of public peering. This location is often referred to as an internet exchange point, IXP, or simply IX. Let's go back to that example to illustrate. This is a public peering point. All the ISPs have dedicated links into one of these internet exchanges, a public peering point. So they have their cables coming into the office or some special center for TOT, and they essentially are all connected together. So it's not so easy to follow the lines, but if you follow the lines, you'll see which ones are connected to this internet exchange point. Others may be connected to this internet exchange point. Some may be connected to both or multiple. And again, they simply use BGP to exchange information about who is reachable via them. You can see many ISPs are connected to the CAT internet exchange. It's the largest one in Thailand. The others are much smaller. So all of them have connections directly into the CAT internet exchange. And hence, if data needs to go from this ISP to this one, because they would have exchanged information using BGP, the data will go from the source computer via the ISP's network over this link to the internet exchange, and then back via this link to the destination ISP through its network and then to the destination computer. So this involves having some agreement between multiple organizations, either private peering between two organizations when they connect directly together, or in public peering when you connect via some third party, some agreement between multiple organizations. So some commercial agreements. Because peering involves sending the IP packets from other people across your network. In this case, the source computer was somewhere down here from a different autonomous system. The destination computer is here on AS1. But that IP packet is going through this organization's network. Someone has to pay for that. This is a company providing a service of delivering data across its network. The source is not on this network. The destination is not on this network. Therefore, for this autonomous system to allow people to send traffic across its network, there needs to be some commercial agreement. I will allow so many gigabits per second or gigabytes per month to be sent across my network from your network if you allow so much from my network, so on. So they have agreements to send traffic in both directions. And there turns about to be two types of agreements. Transit peering agreements and, or transit agreements and peering agreements. It depends upon the relationship between the ISPs. You can see that, or you will realize that there's some level of hierarchy of ISPs. There's the smaller ones, which the end users connect to, and then there's the larger ones, which may have a network across an entire country. And there's the larger ones, which may have a network across the entire world. So there are two different types of agreements. Transit is when a smaller ISP pays the larger ISP for their traffic to transit the larger ISP's network. Peering, or a peering agreement, and don't be confused between a peering agreement and both private and public peering. A peering agreement is when two ISPs make some agreement, usually some commercial agreement, to say, I will exchange your traffic for free if you exchange mine. Let's illustrate those two. Across the world, we can generally classify different ISPs at three different levels, or three different tiers. Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3. The exact classification is not written down, it's not formal or anything, but it's roughly as we explain here. Tier 1 ISPs are at the high level. They are internet service providers that essentially have networks across the entire world. They have connections into many different countries. And there is only about 15 Tier 1 ISPs in the world. Here's some of them. AT&T, NTT, Global Crossing. So there's 15 plus or minus 2 or 3 in the world at any one time. So they have networks across many countries. Tier 2 ISPs are normally large ISPs on a national level, perhaps. But they don't have networks to all the other countries in the world. And therefore, to get traffic from a Tier 2 ISP, say in Thailand, to a Tier 2 ISP in the US, they need to pay a Tier 1 ISP to get their traffic across. So they would have a transit agreement to pay the Tier 1 to carry their traffic. And the Tier 3s are just the smaller ISPs. And generally they would pay a Tier 2 ISP for their traffic to be carried. Switching back to our example again. We would say we generally classify all of these as Tier 3 internet service providers, and the ones up here as tier 2 ISPs. These are national ISPs, but they do not have connections across the entire globe, just mainly inside Thailand and to several countries outside. So tier 3 ISPs, tier 2, and if you want to get traffic from a host in this ISP, then this internet service provider must pay for the traffic to go via this internet service provider, to transit this one. And then this one would pay a tier 1 to get the traffic across to the US. So it's about some relationship between the ISPs and the internet. Somehow illustrated here, we have tier 3, 2 and 1. Inside each autonomous system or ISP, there are multiple networks, IP networks. I've just labeled some of them here. So if a customer on this network, me on my computer, I subscribe to this ISP, I'm attached to this network, wants to send data to a customer on network D, then I send that up to my local ISP, passes their network. They must have an agreement, a transit agreement, with a tier 2 ISP, in this case AS6, which has a transit agreement with AS1, a tier 1 global ISP, and the data would go up and, for example, follow this path in terms of the set of autonomous systems it goes by. So you can think, this company pays this company to use their network, and this one pays this one. If I want to send from network A to network L, same approach. It goes up to AS1, but the top level, the tier 1, often, or not often, always have a peering agreement with each other. So this is a transit agreement where we pay someone above. At the same level, a peering agreement is where they agree to freely exchange traffic. Any traffic that comes from AS1, this company has an agreement with this one to carry their traffic. So we could send up to AS1 across this link, there will be actual physical link, and then down to network L. So by definition, the tier 1 ISPs peer with each other. If there's 15 ISPs, they all have connections with each other. And generally those peering connections here, peering agreements, mean that traffic can be sent for free between each other. Whereas these agreements, there's some payment for carrying traffic. In addition, it doesn't have to be that simple. ISPs at the same level can create their own peering agreements. These ISPs can enter some agreements so that any traffic that needs to go to any of these their sub-networks or sub-autonomous systems can go for free between them. Compare that to the previous case. Well, the previous case, I sent data from A to D. It went up. AS6 had to pay for that data to go via AS1. By creating this peering agreement, now the data goes up to AS6, directly to AS4, and then down to network D. In this case, compared to the previous case, AS6 does not have to pay Autonomous System 1 to carry their traffic. They get it for free via this direct connection. So it's of benefit in some cases to, instead of paying for a high-level ISP to carry your traffic, create an agreement with another ISP and say, let's exchange our traffic for free. It's of benefit to the internet service providers, and it may also be of benefit to the end customers, because this link may be much faster than these links in some cases. And it's cheaper to the end customers in the end. If your ISP doesn't have to pay, you pay less. Almost finished. Let's go back to our example. That's our domestic internet. So, 4 or 5 internet exchange points and many local ISPs having connections into them, into one or multiple of those internet exchange points. Let's look at the international connections. Before we zoom in, okay, we have now international internet gateways, exchange points, internet exchange points, but connecting local ISP, or connecting local ISPs, we'll zoom in these ones here, eventually to international ISPs, ISPs in other countries. All of these rectangles here are ISPs in other countries, with some exceptions. So again, you see it's the similar companies or organizations which have these international internet gateways. These are mainly for research or for very special purposes. So you may recognize some of the names. It's our local Thai ISPs, all with autonomous system numbers. They're all their own autonomous system. The gateway, or the international gateway, so they connect into here. And other international ISPs in different countries have connections from outside into Thailand. You can see the countries where they come from in most cases: Philippines, Hong Kong, Singapore, and so on. So these are, a similar structure is inside their country. And you can see the speeds of the different links. Sometimes they may be peering agreements. Sometimes they may be transit agreements. We cannot tell from here. Perhaps the last thing to notice, we talk about autonomous systems at internet service providers, companies whose business are to build a network and carry the traffic of their customers. Customers may be you and I, the end users, or a customer may be another internet service provider. One internet service provider pays another one to carry its traffic. But there's some special cases, and you'll see from the names up the top, or at least you can see Microsoft there. Somewhere we can see some other, I hope. Okay, we can see Google here, Yahoo, Microsoft. These are not traditional internet service providers. These are more what we'd call content providers. It's not the business of Microsoft or Yahoo to build a network and accept people's money to carry their traffic. That's not their business. Their business is providing content. Well, their business is providing software and other things, but in terms of internet connectivity, their business in this case, or their business purpose, is to provide content to the end users, you and me. And this is something that's happened more recently, or at least over the last 5 or 10 years, is what happens is the companies which are very popular in terms of the end users, the normal case without these connections to Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google, if you visited a Google website, which is based in the US, you, as the end user, send via your ISP, which goes to the international exchange, which goes via one of the other ISPs, whichever one goes to the US, and then it goes down via the local ISPs in the US to the Google web server inside Google's network, and then the response comes back. But because a lot of people are sending data to the Google's web server, and Google is sending a lot of data back, note that Google owns YouTube, and there's a lot of data that comes from YouTube videos, then instead of having to pay those Tier 2 and Tier 1 ISPs to carry the traffic, and there's a lot of traffic coming here, instead Google creates a direct connection into Thailand. They're not an ISP, they're a content provider, but providing a direct connection, essentially creating a peering agreement, means that now your traffic goes to the Thailand-based international gateway and direct into Google's network. In this case, it's in Singapore. They may have networks in other countries. Or direct to Yahoo in the US. So there's a direct connection from Yahoo's network in California into Thailand. And now, it's two benefits. Faster, in most cases, because your network traffic goes inside Thailand and then a direct connection to Yahoo. Whereas if this wasn't here, it would have to go via other ISPs, and normally the network of those other ISPs has to be shared. It's not dedicated for Yahoo, it's for other people's traffic as well. So normally this is faster for the end user and cheaper. Cheaper for the companies, because all of that traffic going to Yahoo, CAT and Yahoo do not have to pay a higher level ISP to carry that traffic. They make an agreement between themselves, okay, everything to Yahoo goes via this link. Without this link, it would have to go via another ISP and then into the US. And CAT would have to pay that other ISP, as would Yahoo, to carry that traffic. So by creating these direct connections, these peering agreements, it saves money for the companies and eventually saves money for the end users and provides faster service for the end users. So you see, autonomous systems are not just ISPs. We can also see they are content providers, especially content providers that have a lot of traffic going to and from them. And you may notice other companies coming up here. Facebook, for example, may start to create connections. Some of these connections to Google and Microsoft have just happened in the last 3 to 5 years. So let's return to our slides and see what's left. Internet exchange points. Okay. Like I tried to draw up there, we have multiple autonomous systems having connections into one public internet exchange point, like the large blue dots in those previous diagrams. And not only are they internet exchange points, but they may offer other services, like a data center. They may host websites or provide caches to speed up access to particular websites. And as I mentioned, nowadays it's not just internet service providers, it's also content providers that connect via autonomous systems. It saves money and it provides faster service to the end users because you now have a direct connection into the content provider. And I think that finishes. Alright, we know about IP, the internet protocols used for internet working. You know about routers. We use internal routing protocols inside our company, inside our autonomous system. Between autonomous systems, we use BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol. Autonomous systems typically correspond to internet service providers, sometimes content providers. End users, you and me, SIT is an end user, it's a business, pay for transit via ISPs. We pay an ISP a monthly price for our traffic to transit their network. Similar, some ISPs pay other higher level ISPs for their traffic to transit their network. Or, to save on those costs, they come into some agreement where they say, okay, I will have a peering agreement with you. Instead of paying another ISP, let's connect directly together so our traffic goes direct, saving money and providing performance enhancements. The internet structure is probably much more complex than what we've covered today, but at least we've introduced some basic concepts of the relationship between ISPs. And that's it for this